This is Mike Bartolomeo, pastor of Church for the Harvest in Alexandria, Minnesota. The Bible is the Word of God. Within its pages are revealed God's perfect will and plan for mankind, the answers to life's hardest questions, and instructions on how to live a victorious Christian life. I believe the following message can change your life if you will let it. Join us now as we share the Word of God today.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence, Lord. It's never a waste of time. We thank you, God, that it's always with purpose. And so, Lord, as we dive into your word now, I just pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, I pray that we would just have open ears, open hearts, open minds. Cleanse us with your word. Show us your ways, Father God. Our ways just are rubbish. And Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so, Lord, we just open up our hearts to you and receive from you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a month since our Harvest Duathlon. And I got to tell you, it's for those of you that don't know, this was our seventh year. Every year on Labor Day, our church hosts a duathlon. We do kids in the evening, Friday evening, and we do adults in the morning on Saturday. And the kids can start racing from ages 4 on up. And adults, and if you can run and bike, you're in. And so the running for the adults is a very challenging course. It's over 2 miles. And then they get on their bikes and they bike nearly 15 miles. And then they come back and they run again over 2 miles. And just so you know that you've earned your badge, we have them end on a hill. You know, they're just tuckered out. And when they come in, there's a steep hill that they have to come up and around to hit that finish line. And here what you have is you've got some pictures from the duathlon website of participants. You can see the determination in that little boy's face there, and the girls that got their medals, and we have a whole award ceremony. And what's really fun about this duathlon is, you know, there's events that happen all the time, but we're purposeful with this. And we share the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope of Jesus at the kids' duathlon and then at the adult duathlon. And we have racers come, but then we have their family members that show up. So we literally have hundreds of people that we get to impact, not just in our community, but people that come from like 5 different states and come because there's a reputation. Word is on the street, we do a pretty awesome event, and we do it with excellence, which is so good because that brings glory to our King. Amen. And so what's really fun about the duathlon is over the years I've had the opportunity to help coordinate the volunteers. Tammy Zitzman took the lead this year, and she did a phenomenal job, really great using her gifting of administration. But what's so fun is every year we've got a couple new volunteers that help with the duathlon. And it's so fun to see their reaction to it. Because usually they come back and they say something like, oh my gosh, I mean, you said it was a big deal, but I just didn't realize that's a really big deal. And they can see like that impact. I mean, I had people come up to me and say, oh, that word that was spoken, that was just what I needed to hear. I had racers that were cheered on and were like, thanks for being here. You made all the difference. And the people that are volunteering and serving in that capacity are seeing like, oh my gosh, it made a difference to be there, right? And then the other thing that really speaks to those first-time volunteers, you always hear a testimony about this, is how inspired they were. You have the one racer that left everybody in the dust, just took off, you know, smoked everybody else. It's like 14 minutes till the next one comes in because that one just took off, you know. And he's, you know, brushing off his shoulders because he set a new PR. Yeah, we're cheering him on. We're just like so impressed with his, athletic talents. Yeah. And then the next racer comes in. We're cheering them on. And what speaks to those volunteers is that final racer comes in, right? And what happens with that final racer? They get just as much enthusiasm, if not more. Come on, you got this. You're almost there. You're almost there. You finished your race. You did it. And their muscles are shaking, and they're sweating, and they're thirsty, and they're fatigued. And they come across that finish line, and it's like a victory for the whole crowd to see them come across, right? And it speaks to people's hearts. They're like, that was amazing. They're on adrenaline for like 3 days. I couldn't sleep. It was so awesome, right? And I think the reason why it speaks to their heart is because there's spiritual parallels that they connect with. The Word of God teaches us in Ecclesiastes that, if you can keep going, that God has planted eternity into the human heart. It says God has planted eternity into the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to the end. You see, God has put eternity in your heart. He's put a divine purpose and calling in each and every one of you. It's not by mistake that you're here at this hour, in this time, in this season of all eternity. God's put this in your heart. And there's something that happens even in things where we run into things like the duathlon, where we're just inspired, like, look, they ran their race. They finished their course. You know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says there's a cloud of witnesses that's looking out, and they're watching us, and they're cheering us on in our race. They're cheering us on. Come on, you got this. Keep going. I know you're tired. I know you're tuckered out, but keep going. God has placed that in our heart. And God's put something in you that only you can fulfill and that will only be fulfilling to you. So this morning, I want to encourage you to stay the course and recognize that God's doing something very unique in your life and identify that. Sometimes we get into stride with God and we feel like the wind is to our back, right? And we're going downhill. Sometimes it feels kind of easy, like, I got this Christian thing licked. You ever have that? I mean, there are moments, right? You're on the mountaintop, it's going good, right? You kind of think, I got it going. But then all of a sudden, something blindsides you. You didn't see that coming. There's a relationship that's a little bit in turmoil, and it's like, I don't know what to do with this. Things are falling apart. The roof is leaking. The car broke down. The kid's upset. You don't know. Things happen. Something comes against you, and you're like, wait a second. And I want to challenge you today that you ought not to be surprised by that. You ought not to be surprised. I love it when people are just straight with me. I do bullet points really, really well. Not everybody does. But I can do black and white and bullet points really, really well. And one thing that I noticed in John chapter 15 and 16, Jesus is having a heart-to-heart with his disciples. And he's sitting down and he's talking to them about he's the vine and you're the branches. And with the branches, there's some pruning that takes place, some cutting away, some reshaping that takes place. And the purpose behind it is so that you can be more fruitful, so that you can multiply and you can carry out more things for the kingdom of God. And then he talks about how, you know what, I love you with all I got in you, but there's going to be people that misunderstand you. And there's going to be people that are going to come against you. They're not going to get you. And he talks about that. Then he says, and by the way, I'm going to be leaving you. It's a very somber conversation. I'm going to be leaving, but I'm going to be sending a helper to you. And the next thing that he says is in John 16:33. If we can go to that next slide, please. He says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. You know, the God kind of peace, the peace that Jesus gives, is beyond our understanding. It means nothing missing, nothing broken. It's something that you carry internally that nobody can take away from you. He says, listen, I'm being forthcoming with you. I'm telling you, this Christian walk isn't always the easiest thing to do. You're going to have some challenges. But I'm telling you this, that you would have peace in me. But here on earth, you're going to have trials. You're going to have sorrows. You're going to have tribulations. Things are going to come at you that you just didn't think it should happen that way when you're walking with the Lord. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. So now let me temper this. Do we walk around all the time with a victim mentality, like, gonna get hit with something? Do we do that? Absolutely not. The right answer is absolutely not. We turn our focus to the Lord because he ended it with a promise. The promise is, but take heart. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And if you dwell in me, I dwell in you. You're an overcomer. Amen. Amen. But we have to have the same values God values. And this morning, the thing I want to talk to you about is perseverance. I want to talk to you about perseverance. I don't know that that's a value that I see, that I see readily anymore in this day and age. When the going gets tough, do we give up? But God values perseverance. And you know what? When I looked up the word perseverance, I was just tickled to find this definition. Perseverance is staying power. Okay, that is awesome. Come on. How many of you are like, I want a superpower? Absolutely. Be invisible. Read people's minds. How about speed? Like, I just can sleep in and show up on time. All right? This is your superpower by the power of the Holy Ghost. Perseverance. Taking ground. Keeping ground. Staying power. And if you continue to read there, the definition of perseverance, steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. Steady persistence. Do you know what? I just Googled this, and this is the next definition that came up. It's a godly definition. Continuance in a state of grace to the end, leading to eternal salvation. Yeah. Woo! Continuance in that power that the Holy Spirit gives us, leading to salvation, all the way to the end. This morning, I want to talk to you about perseverance. And let me warn you, this is a broad topic. So this morning is just going to be kind of a survey, a skimming of this. But if you've been like wondering, God, I just want something fresh to study. I need a topic to study. I would encourage you to dive into this and build yourself up in this, because there is scripture upon scripture upon scripture encouraging you to persevere, encouraging you to be resilient. It is one of the core values of the Christian walk. It's one of the core values of what God has for us. So there's so much that could be taught, but I'm just going to touch on the five P's of perseverance. I'm going to try to keep it simple. And the first thing that I'm going to touch base on is posture. To persevere, you need to consider, what is the posture of your heart? What's the posture of your heart? It matters. A good friend of mine just recently shared this scripture with me, and I thought, I'm going to share that. I'm taking that and taking it as my own. Psalm 5:3, listen to my voice in the morning, Lord. Each morning I bring my requests to you and wait expectantly. When you're faced with trials and challenges, do you get caught up in worry? Do you get caught up in doubt and fear? Do you get caught up in, okay, how am I going to fix this? Step aside, God, I got this. Do you get caught up in that? Or do you go before the Lord and lay it before the Lord and wait expectantly to hear his voice? Wait expectantly for his wisdom. That's a posture of your heart that will produce good things in your life. The next one, Psalm 51:10, King David says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God honors a broken and contrite heart. God honors a repentant heart. A heart that says, you know what, God? I have worked so hard to try to do it this way, and I have found myself just running up against the wall. This isn't working for me, but God, I hear your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So I'm going to do what's called repent, and I'm going to turn from my ways, and I'm going to turn to your ways. That's what repentance is. It's not tears. It's not, you know, just a sense of sorry. But God, yeah, there's remorse maybe involved, but God, I'm going to turn, and I'm going to choose to follow you. And God can honor that posture of that heart. James 1, 2 through 4. I heard recently that priests from the old, I don't know how long ago, wanted to just rip out the book of James and do away with it because it frustrated them. I don't know. Let's read. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's hard. That's challenging. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Okay. This thing is going to bring about some maturity and some completion. It's going to develop some things in my life so I can consider this pure joy. I know there's a house full of some mature Christians in here. You've walked through some stuff. I know you've walked through some stuff. How many of you, after you've walked through some stuff, you've conquered that mountain, another one rises up and you look at it and go, yeah, I know you. You're small beans. Because you've walked through some things and you've experienced the faithfulness of God. It doesn't shake you like it used to. God was able to mature and develop something in you. So when these challenges come, it's not to your destruction like the enemy would intend, but this is going to invest something in you. I used to have an uncle with crazy eyebrows. He'd turn them up. And he'd look at me. I'd come to him with, you know, my hand hurts, or my cousin's being mean. And he'd look at me and his eyebrows would go all, he'd go, you know what that ain't? That ain't no big thing. And sometimes after we've walked with the Lord for a while and we come across something and the enemy tries to throw something at us and we look at the sword of the Spirit and we look at our shield of faith and we look at the enemy and go, you know what that ain't? That ain't no big thing. Amen? So then Pastor Mike, he just finished a series. It's on iTunes. It's on our church website. We've got CDs in the back. And he just talked about a series of not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we've talked about our posture, and now we're going to talk about preparing our hearts. The Word of God says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This requires diligence. This requires daily discipline. Let me just talk to you a little bit about Noah and the Ark. So when Noah lived, the whole earth was full of evil and wickedness, right? And God was like fed up with it. He's like, I'm done. I'm going to wipe the slate clean and start over. But there was one person that had favor with God and had relationship with God, and that was Noah. And so God said, okay, I'm going to spare Noah. And he gave him the blueprints for the ark and said, you need to start building because there's a flood coming and there's a storm that's coming your way. And you need to start building this. This is going to save you and your household. Now, see, Noah had never experienced a flood or a storm before. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. But he had a choice to make, to build the ark or to wait till the storm came. If he waited until the storm came, it would be too late. How many times do we want to count on the promises of God, but we haven't invested in our spiritual growth, and then the storm comes, and we're sliding across the kitchen floor on our knees going, God, trying to find really quick, Google some promise that we can stand on, but it's not been developed in our heart. So when Pastor Mike is preaching about renewing your mind and that it's a daily practice, what you're doing is you're building up your storehouse. You're putting deposits in so that when this thing comes, because Jesus warned you it's going to happen, you can look at it and you've got the promises of God ready. You have built your ark. Jesus had to be filled up with the Word of God. When he went out and he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, the enemy came at him. And the first thing he said to them is he said, hey, command these stones to be bread. And you know what Jesus responded with? He goes, no, it is written. And Jesus knew what was in the Word of God. And he countered it. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus knew his weapon. He knew the word. But guess what happened? The second time the enemy came around, what did the enemy use? He used Jesus' very own words against him. The enemy came and he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. The devil used that terminology. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. But Jesus said, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You see, God has armed each and every one of you. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth. He's girded your feet with the gospel of peace. He's given you a shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Not a pocket knife, thank God. The enemy sees that sword. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But you need to know how to wield your sword. You need to be consistent in learning how to use your weapon. You need to be certain not to be deceived. Paul even told Timothy in Timothy chapter 2, he said, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Any of you see that today? I'll just create my own gospel, thank you very much. It'll accommodate the lifestyle and give me permission to live how I want, and I'll feel good, you can feel good, right? I don't want that. I want God's truth. And so Paul said, "But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." God would say the same to you. That wasn't just the unique word for Timothy. That's the unique word for all of us. Fill your heart with the word of God. Renew your mind. Be diligent about that. I want to tell you, we kind of want it to go one way. I don't know about you, but I mean, we just want to be able to say, "Well, I did. I renewed my mind. I transformed my mind. I did that last week at Sunday at church. I'm good for the week," right? Or, "I had this experience with God 4 years ago. I'm good. It was phenomenal. God showed up. I was just a mess." But he did. Yeah, that was a pivotal point. But you still need to continue to fill your mind and renew your mind in the Word of God. We can't approach it like we want to approach our housework. Anyone else have that? "I just cleaned this house. I just did the laundry. The basket was empty an hour ago." We got to keep cleaning the house, don't we? We got to keep doing the laundry, don't we? Pastor Mike shares, spiritual things leak. You got to keep filling up. You got to keep going back to the Word and renew your mind with the Word. I used to, raising our kids, we would have stuff. I don't know about you, but we had stuff that would happen. And I'd find myself walking around going, "We are not these people. We do not behave this way. We are not these people." And then, like, after 3 or 4 weeks, I had to come to terms with the fact that, okay, we are. We are those people, and we're going to have to make some adjustments, right? And that's the way we got to approach life and approach the Word of God. You know what? Things get messy. We got to go back and declutter. We got to go back and reorganize. We got to go back and get rid of some thinking that snuck in that's not of God. And we do that by getting into the Word on a daily basis. Noah built his ark. What are you doing? All right. Partners, that's my next point. Posture, prepare, and partners, or also known as the family of God. If you want to persevere, I would dare tell you, you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You need the family of God. Not my idea, his idea. You need the family of God. You need those people that will come alongside and will encourage you, that will hold you accountable, that will pray for you, that will ask you things and challenge you to grow in the things of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 says, "So let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging and loving and helping out. Let's not avoid worshiping together as some do, but spur each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching." We need those people that hold us accountable. You know, this last fall, I went back for my master's degree. And when I did that, I was intentional about telling key people in my life that would hold me accountable, because I kind of was sitting on the fence with it. Some of my key people said, "You're crazy." Thanks. But I told them so that there was a level of accountability, like I couldn't back out. I have that network that I built. And we do that with our Christian walk. How many of you wake up in the morning, you took a great multivitamin, it's got more than enough vitamin B, your mood is awesome. You're like, "I'm going to eat right today. I'm going to do my exercise. I'm going to be in a great mood." And then all of a sudden you're cruising down the road and there's a Chick-fil-A or whatever your weakness is. You turn around and go, you lost that accountability. Or you get in a crabby mood and all of a sudden you feel entitled because the circumstances allow for it. And if you just knew. But when you have partnerships, when you have friendships, when you have the family of God coming alongside and saying, hey, what, you told me you were going to, all of a sudden that accountability helps you to persevere, amen? Or you say, I am struggling, and you find someone that you can just be transparent with. This thing, I know it's got a grip that I don't want it to have, and I'm ready to kick it to the curb. Will you come alongside and pray with me? Will you believe God with me? And that person is shooting you a text, just, hey, I read this scripture. This really spoke to me this morning. I hope it encourages you. Those are things that help us to persevere, help us to walk out this faith walk. It's God's design. We need the family of God to persevere, to encourage one another, to pray for one another, to provide wise counsel. Sometimes we just need that balance. And to believe God for his best. 1 Peter 4:8-10 says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So posture, preparing our hearts, partnering with each other. The next point that I'd like to throw out there and propose is, helps us with perseverance, is purpose. Charles Spurgeon says, trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soil and let us see what we are made of. How many times have you faced a trial and you just kind of freak out, and you look at the soil, you're like, yeah, it's not what I was hoping for. I've had those moments. Years ago, Pastor Mike preached a sermon on complaining, and he made this noise in the sermon about kind of sounding, you know, like a pig squealing in the sermon. And so it was like 4 days later, I was talking to someone, and I started talking, and I could hear him in my mind. And I was like, oh, this is bad soil. I gotta grow in this area. But I heard the word, and because I heard that teaching, I knew that God was doing a work, right? And getting things switched up. How we respond to trials and tribulations matters. Romans 5:1-5, I love this scripture. It's kind of tiny. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace into which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character hope. Now that hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. I want to challenge you this morning to recognize that that hope just isn't for you alone. But as you walk through things and you overcome things, that hope is something that shines like a city on the hill for others to see and be drawn to Jesus. Because in that, you can give glory to God. People watch how you react. They watch how you respond. They see you walk things out in faith, and they see God move on your behalf, and it stirs up a hope in them. It speaks to the eternity that God put in them. It speaks to the calling that God put into them. And now you are multiplying the kingdom of God because you choose to persevere, because you choose to follow his ways, and you choose to believe God for his power, and believe God that he's doing something in this moment. Amen? Am I losing you? All right. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That very thing that the enemy meant to harm you is actually, God says, I've designed it to serve you. I've designed it to serve you and establish the kingdom of God in you. The enemy, his plans are thwarted. God is so good like that. And it has the capacity to increase the establishment of the kingdom of God in your life and the presence of God in your life. How are you choosing to use it? How are you choosing to look at it? Okay, some practical examples. You go into work and there's something going on, there's something lacking in the workplace. Do you start grumbling and complaining? When is management going to get this figured out? Or do you start looking at it and going, all right, God, I see room here for a miracle. How do you look at it? You've got a kid that's acting out, and you're wondering, you're concerned about their salvation. You're concerned about their eternity. Do you start operating in fear and worry, or do you lift them up to the Lord and say, okay, God, I know you're building a testimony here. How do you handle it? That makes all the difference. And when you start pursuing the presence of God and start pursuing his truths, those things that you've deposited in your heart, because you've renewed your mind, God shows up on the scene. He's faithful in that. The last point I want to make in perseverance is the power. That we focus on the power of God. Have you seen the YouTube videos where someone's walking along, texting on their phone, and they fall into a water feature at the mall? You've seen them, right? It's funny, right? But why did they fall? Because they weren't watching where they were going, right? They had the improper focus, right? And so when we have things that come at us, we need to make certain that we aren't just looking at the problem and magnifying the problem, but that we're looking at to the power of God. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We look unto Jesus. We don't magnify the problem. We magnify the God who's able. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Corinthians, Paul is talking about the thing that he's wanting God to take away from him, and God responds, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. It's an opportunity. But God, I don't know how to do it. God says, it's okay. I'll show up on the scene. My strength will be made perfect in your weakness, and you'll get to walk out in that strength. Amen. That's exciting. We need to stay focused and stay the course and do the best with what God has given us to do. Not try to look at somebody else's course, comparing, thinking the grass is greener somewhere else, but stay the course and persevere and see what God will do. Amen. I'm going to invite you to go ahead and stand with me and invite the worship team up as we close this morning and prepare our hearts for communion. This last scripture I want to share with you and just help, encourage you to make it personal. Encourage you to personalize Isaiah 33, 5 through 6. It says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness. He will be the stability of your times. That speaks to me. In these times, God will be the stability of your times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Now put your name in there. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Angie with justice and righteousness. He will be the stability of my times. Abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is my treasure. Amen. Now this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. We've talked about the posture of your heart. We talked about a repentant heart. And for some of you, that may have been the first time you've ever heard about that, that God is looking for you to turn around, to change your direction. But God wants to have a relationship with you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, from heaven to come down, walk this earth, die on a cross, a shameful death, and rise again so that he could save you for eternity and that you could have right relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I want to offer an opportunity for you just to accept that gift. And if you would just take a moment with me, I'm going to ask that every head would be bowed. And we're going to pray a prayer of salvation. It's just a prayer surrendering our life to Jesus and asking him to come in and be Lord of our life. And maybe this is your first time you've ever heard a message like this and your first opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord. Or maybe you've kind of walked away from the Lord and you want to rededicate. That's just fine. I encourage you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sin and came back to life with resurrection power. I don't want to live apart from you. I repent of my sin and choose to follow you. Jesus, forgive me and be Lord of my life. I give you my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and give me strength to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today in the ministry of God's Word. My prayer today is that you will experience a new revelation of who Christ is in you. Feel free to make as many copies of this message as you like. For more information about Church for the Harvest scheduled ministry times and meeting place, please visit us at churchfortheharvest.com or contact the church office at 320-759-1400. At Church for the Harvest, you belong.